Hey there, podcast family. T-Bone here to talk about the 3D Dentist Digital Implant Continuum. Are you ready to start placing dental implants, but feeling a bit hesitant and or overwhelmed? I know that feeling. I've been there. Let's change that together. Imagine not just learning about dental implants in a classroom, but actually performing surgeries on real patients right here in North Carolina, guided every step of the way by our expert 3D mentors. This is dental implant learning at its best, using techniques that are safe, predictable, and confidence-boosting. They're exactly what I use in my own practice, so you know they work. Our course goes beyond clinical skills. We prepare you to successfully integrate high-demand implant services into your practice, transforming your career by attracting new patients and elevating your practice. And it doesn't end with the course. Completing our program is just the beginning of a new journey. You'll be a part of a community of confident, skilled dentists with ongoing support to ensure lasting success and growth. After all, this is about mastering a skill that can transform your career, just like it did for me. So, are you ready to take your practice to the next level? Visit www.3d-dentist.com, check out our upcoming sessions, and join us to revolutionize your practice. 3D Dentist is truly committed to helping dentists take control of their practice, finances, and future. Now let's get back to this week's episode. Good day and welcome to episode 164 of the T-Bone Speaks podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking about how not to do that with your foot. But in this episode, we're going to talk about five ways to attract, motivate, and keep wonderful team members. What we do know is that team is the number one challenge that most practices face. And in this episode, we're going to talk about it. So make sure you stay tuned in for this entire episode.
Hi, everyone. I'm Meredith. Welcome back to the Studio 3D. I'm here with T-Bone for the T-Bone Speaks podcast, episode 164. Today, we're talking about five ways to motivate, keep, and attract team members. But before we get started, I want to read a review from the Apple podcast. We'll be sending Adam Bowers a prize pack for reading his review today. I love this podcast. T-Bone covers an incredibly wide range of topics, from clinical to practice management, and always asks smart questions to his guests. I'm just starting dental school, so I admittedly don't even understand some of the conversations, but I always find that I learn something each week. Thanks, Adam, for listening, and we'll be sure to send you a prize pack this week. So let's get started on five ways to attract, keep, and motivate team members. So T-Bone, the first thing saying is to create flexibility.
See how hard this is?
What did you mean by that?
Yeah. See, it's hard, isn't
yeah.
it? Yeah. Right. You know, I think one of the things people are looking for, especially today, is people are looking for this quote unquote work-life balance. Now, Meredith, you know, I don't know what the hell work-life balance is.
Right, okay? Right.
So, But we preach it for other people because I know it's super important. My wife knows it's super important. My kids know it's super important. Our team members have that too. And when we're working in a great economy, okay, when we're living in a great economy and things are going great and getting great people is harder, we got to start thinking about how can we compete with large corporations. You know, so much of the workforce is able to work from home. They're able to have flexible hours, and dentistry doesn't really lend itself to that, correct? I mean, you can't really treat patients from home. Now, you could probably do insurance claims from home. So one way of flexibility is look at certain positions. Probably something we need to do in our office because we have a parking problem, right?
Yeah, we need a parking deck or people need to work from home.
But we have to look at that, right? Maybe we would have somebody like Melissa, our medical billing coordinator. Maybe two times a week she could work from home. She would probably love that, don't you think?
Oh, yes.
Right, but yet she would get work done for us and it would free up a parking spot in our practice, right? Yes. And you know how much I like human beings.
Yes.
But the other way of flexibility beyond that is also thinking about extending hours and allowing people, like I know, for example, in our office, Megan would love to get done by 3:30, 4 o'clock because she wants to pick up her kids and she wants to go to tennis practice and stuff like that. But she also needs, I need her and she needs to get her hours in. So one of the things that we're looking at is at least once per week, we're moving her to a 7 to 3 o'clock schedule with no lunch. So she gets the hours in and she loves being able to get done at 3. You know, getting off at 3 really means leaving at 3:30. So she'll be home in time to pick up her kids and do what she has to do. So it's super important to create an environment where we start having flexibility, and that's what attracts people. And then your team members talk or other team members talk, and it, you know, it starts to create this. Now, one thing I do want to warn people about with flexibility is you can't let the inmates run the asylum. Okay, you've got to have firm and fast rules on how this works. And when it stops working for you, I tell everybody up front, we're experimenting. We might be experimenting for 10 years, but it's an experiment. So it could change at any moment in time. And that change is solely dependent on me and my whims. So you got to set that expectation up front.
And what about vacation time?
Yeah. So, you know, I've talked to offices, and one of the things about the practice pivot is, you know, I want to get everybody to a multiple doctor practice. That is a firm goal of mine. And then what happens when you become a multiple doctor practice, you don't create vacation where everybody goes at the same time. For example, I remember this early in my career. You know, I made good money, certainly more than the people that worked for me, or more than most team members. And but I always wanted to take vacation July 4th. But it's also the most expensive time to take vacation. So that didn't always work for our team members.
Okay? Right, to force them to take off the same week as you.
Yeah, so and I'm not saying it's a wrong way of doing it, but I'm saying we have to look at things different. We got to start creating, again, not allowing the inmates to run the asylum, but creating some levels of flexibility to where we can really be in tune to the needs of our current team members to help keep them there, and also to be in tune to the changing workforce.
Yes, that sounds awesome. It's incredibly important to have flexibility within the office. So number one was flexibility in our 5 ways to motivate, attract, and keep team members. Let's get into number 2, creating the best environment. Right. What do you think about that?
Well, you know, environment is important. Nobody wants to work in a dull environment anymore. Everybody, like, think about this, Meredith. When we put the backyard in, were people excited?
Oh, yeah. It was a little getaway for us.
Break. So, and to a certain degree, selfishly, I did that because I needed it for 3D, right?
Right.
But what I saw was that our team, who would actually be, you know, 3D might use it once or twice a month, you know, but our team in certain time periods used that every day. And it's a way for them to get back there, it's a way for them to kind of separate themselves from the office without having to necessarily leave either. So the environment's important. Now, I want to be clear. Environment's not about creating a Taj Mahal or having something super fancy. I would say we have a nice office, not a fancy office. But it's about having a good environment. And what I mean by that specifically is, when's the last time you changed carpets? When's the last time you painted the walls? When's the last time you or your team walked through the office as a patient and looked in the corners, looked at the boards? Like, remember when we used to have holes in our ceilings from where I change electrical outlets?
Yes.
You know how many patients commented on that?
A lot.
And the thought was, well, God, if it looks like that, you know, what is the things we can't see look like?
Right.
You know, and so that's part of the environment. Okay. The other thing is equipment. I remember I used to have a hygienist, and things didn't work out for us mutually in that particular situation. But one thing that I remember her saying to me is, man, you're supposed to be a high-tech office and your hygiene equipment is garbage, Lindy. So
that was before my time.
But it stuck with me. And yeah. She was absolutely right, because I made sure I always had the best stuff, okay, or the right stuff, because that's what I used on a daily basis. But I didn't take time to think about the other team members, you know. Right. So those are things that are important. Little things along those lines. Again, some of these things, unfortunately, are going to cost money. But part of our overall plan that we teach in our mastermind, see, I'm bringing that in, mm-hmm. okay, is about how we escrow a certain amount of money every year to allow for big time updates every 5 to 8 years. And I believe every office should be updated every 5 to 8 years.
Right, like our new treatment centers that are self-cleaning, that saves the team members a lot of time, keeps everything going. And
yeah, the little things, right? Like, I didn't think twice about the self-cleaning. Like, when the rep brought that to me, I didn't think about that at all. But if you ask every one of our team members, that's the number one. Nobody likes putting hoses in buckets of water.
Right. It's time consuming in between
patients.
You didn't
like it, did you, Meredith?
No. Yeah. It's time consuming and you're trying to do it in between patients, and this does it on its own while we're not working. Another thing I think is pretty important in the environment is the people you're around. I think our office has a family atmosphere, and that is from being around people that are like-minded and similar.
Look, this is hard for me because Meredith, you've been there, what, 5 years now?
Yes.
So I would argue that we had a much more family-oriented atmosphere 5 years ago. We were less people. You know, as families get bigger, it becomes...
spreads out a little bit.
Spreads out a little bit, right? So, you know, today between both our offices, mine and my wife's office, we're 30-some people now. Yes. And, you know, and 5 years ago, we were probably... I think 12 or 13.
There's six on each side.
Yeah, so 12 or 13. So we've had, you know, at least more than 2x the growth of people. But culturally, what has been super important to me is to create that environment that we're not two offices, that we're all together. And that's why I fight not having a lunch.
Right.
Or at least, you know, 2 to 3 days a week that we have a lunch. Because lunch... kind of puts people together. What do you do at lunchtime, Meredith?
Keeps the culture. I always stay for lunch. We usually hang out, you know, the same people we see all day, but we're sitting outside or we're sitting in the break room. It's something different. It's not work. I mean, sometimes.
Sure.
But, you know,
those are natural things that come up. But it's also like, you know, you as being a front office person, you may not get to interact with the clinical team member very often.
Right.
So this is an opportunity to kind of see what's up, have a conversation, laugh together, chill together. You know, that's why I firmly believe. I remember we used to have one person in the office that used to go sit in the car at lunchtime. And we had to have a conversation. That's unacceptable because we want to foster getting to know everybody. I think it's critically important because I know that people that like each other or not even like each other, at least know each other, fight for each other harder.
Yeah, they do more for each other for sure.
100%.
So let's talk about number three in our five ways to attract, motivate, and keep team members. Yeah. So number three would be challenge your team members to grow.
Yeah, I think this is a tough one for most offices. Sometimes we feel that we shouldn't push our team members. And my argument would be that the team members you want to be pushed more than you're pushing them. People want to grow. If you think outside of the dental world, when you talk to family, when you talk to friends and they say they're moving jobs, most of them often say what? They're moving because, well, I got a better position. You know, I moved to a position where there's more room for me to grow. And it's not always about money. Now, sometimes it is. Okay, but more often they don't lead with "I got paid more." They lead with "This is the reasons I went." Okay, and so we gotta give people an upward mobility in our practices, and that's about challenging, and also selfishly, as your practice tries to grow, your team has to grow with you. You have got to challenge them along the way. And here's the truth: the truth is. I remember this so vividly from talking to my dad about business. I talked to him about, like, why do we have this person working, you know, as a maid? And my dad looked at me and says, because they're a maid. You know, it's not demeaning to housekeepers, but he says that's their station in life. That's what they chose to do. You can't have a great running business with all chiefs. It just won't work. You need every role in your practice. And so we have to accept people for where they're at, but at the same time, we also have to challenge them uniquely and individually to where they're at. And this comes back so much to what I talk about in the mastermind, is learning how to talk to your team members on a weekly basis. You know, Meredith, how often do we sit down and talk?
Now, probably every day, but even before, at least once or twice a week.
At least once or twice a week. Yeah. And how often did I ask you to sit down and talk to me?
Never.
Never, right? No. But I set the expectation that I need you to talk to me. Mm-hmm. And it's usually not even often about bad things, is it?
Not even often about work things either sometimes.
So,
you know?
And so, but what happens is I get to learn, like I got to learn about Meredith that she didn't want to be a quote unquote receptionist forever. Not that that's what you were.
Yes.
But even when we got you to, well I'd learned that, right?
Mm-hmm. And very early on.
Very early on. So then we gave you a pathway, right? We talked about, okay, so here's what I can see for you. I can see if we learn these things, I'm going to need help in building our Invisalign business. And Meredith, this is what that would look like. Is that something that you'd be interested in trying? And you took to that, right?
Right.
And then when you got there, you're like, okay, well, you know, Dr. A, I mean, I'm married. I want to start a family. We want to buy a house. At some point, I need to be able to make more money, mm-hmm. right? And then we had that tough conversation that, sure, you can make a little bit more doing this, but there's probably going to be at some point a ceiling in what's going on. And so then we had that idea that, you know what, let's create a new position for you, right? Yes. And so a lot of those things, and now every office is in a position to have a seminar coordinator and all of that stuff. But, you know, a lot of those things is about learning about your people. And to this day, probably about 75% of the people that no longer work for me, I have a cordial relationship with. And a lot of that is because we got to know each other and we realized mutually that our time was up. You know, and I want the best for everybody that's around me. And I understand I'm an acquired taste and that I'm probably not the best for everybody. So that's part of learning the people, to be able to challenge them to grow. And part of that is also my concept of replace yourself. Challenging people to grow, the hardest thing for me to get through anyone's head is what replace yourself means. And it literally means exactly what I say. Imagine that you weren't here, who could do your job for you? You got to create that. And the reason that's so important, and it is no different for dentists, by the way, the reason that's so important is you can't move forward until you create somebody to take over. Because I didn't want Liz to leave my chair side, right?
Right.
But we needed to bring an assistant in, and she trained that assistant to take over for her so that we got to a point where I had two good people. And then I was able to reward Liz by moving her to a new position to help the practice grow. And I also had somebody I could trust to do that. And the same thing that I'm trying to do with you, that I'm trying to do with Michelle, is that's why Michelle is now business director, correct? Mm-hmm. You got to create that environment of replacing yourself. And I tell Michelle the same thing. I said, you know, a couple of 3 years from now, you should be having somebody taking on more of these things from you. Not that you can sit around and eat bonbons, but we will fill you with better, more important things.
Trust me,
things.
There's always work to be found to do.
Absolutely. But each of those things provides more value to the practice. And that's where increased pay comes from. Increased pay doesn't come from being around. I'm here this year. Increased pay or more pay or even the pay you're earning is all about the value you bring to the business. If the business doesn't earn more, there is no more to give around. And that's super important for people to understand. And so that's about challenging people to grow. And part of the challenge is creating a success path. You know, sit down with somebody. And I know when Alyssa took over for you, mm-hmm. I sat down and I said, Alyssa, these are the things that clinically I need you to learn. These are the things on the business side of things I need you to learn. When we sit down and learn these, I'm here to help you. I want to give you a list. You got this list. And tell me where you need help. Check in with me every week or so. Tell me where we're at, progress, how things are going. But I sat down and we wrote that out of what it looks like. But she was afraid.
Right.
You know, she had some fear.
Yeah. The way you break it down like that makes it easy. It's a simple checklist for mm-hmm. the team members. And I think the biggest thing you taught us was to replace ourselves. But then you also taught us that it was safe to fail.
Right.
And I think we have a great example yeah. of me failing.
Well, yeah, of course. Right. You know, I don't understand why people are so afraid of failing. You know, we're taught that it's some bad thing.
Yeah.
And the truth is every dentist listening to this, okay, you always say, I hear it over and over again, I learned so much from your failed case. Like, no shit.
Right.
Right? So then why don't you create your own failure so you can learn yourself? You know, and we got to, safe to fail is about stepping out of our comfort zone. Okay, I'll give Meredith, why don't you tell the story?
So we had a whitening party. We did whitening and brightening. We did Botox, whitening, and Invisalign party after hours. I threw a great party, I think.
It was fun.
We all dressed in white. We had a good time. But we planned it the first week of back to school, and only 3 people showed up.
And we had like 50 RSVPs.
Yeah.
And, you know, life gets in the way. Right. And I know that you were super disappointed in yourself. Yeah. You're probably a little afraid.
Yeah, for sure.
Right. But what did I say to you?
That you texted me and said, tonight was great. You did everything great. Well, the first day I was a dentist, only 2 people showed up.
Yeah.
So, you know, you kind of put it in perspective for me that you're not the only person that fails. Everybody mm-hmm. does that. And then to look at where you are now versus
I wouldn't
then.
Even call it a failure. You got to try.
Yeah.
You know, we and that's the thing. And my argument back to you on this is, why haven't we done it since?
Right.
You know, because then it is a failure. It is a failure. If we decided that it was no good and wanted to quit, that's a fail. Then that's one thing. But we didn't. I wanted to do it more, mm-hmm. right? So the failure in that was us not continuing to do it. So I think it's super important when something doesn't go the way you want, but I believe that those things will work. So I want to create and foster that environment and really push people up that to take that risk, you know, because how much work did I do for that thing?
You just showed up to the party.
I gave him my credit card too, I think. But yes. Yeah. But yeah, so that, and that's a great example because most offices don't create that environment for people to step out of the comfort zone. And then I hear them at seminars and I'm like, well, my team's not motivated like yours. I'm like, none of my team were necessarily motivated to begin with. Although I'll argue because of these things, because of flexibility, because of having a great environment, because of, you know, learning to, you know, challenging people, the people that aren't interested in those things don't last.
No.
And then, you know, and you go, it's tough. You know, you go through pains of losing people, adding people, but what you end up with is a core group of about 70% that are lifers, okay, that are committed, that will grow. And there's always going to be percentage that move, change, any number of life situations happen. It's probably not even 70%. It's probably 50% of our team is our lifers, you know, and that's part of the process in developing a great team.
Yeah. So number three for the five ways to motivate, attract, and keep team members is challenging them to grow. And moving on, I think once they're challenged to grow and they continue to move on, the appreciation and acknowledgement is what keeps them going.
This is probably my worst part.
I would agree with that.
Yeah, it's fair.
Busy.
You know, I'm unique. Well, I keep saying I'm unique in so many ways. Let's talk about appreciation and acknowledgement. Number one, everybody wants it. I like it myself, right?
Right.
But it's not in my nature to do it. And quite frankly, I'm probably not really going to change in that. But what is important is that you empower somebody around you to do that. And Joe in our office used to do that unbelievably well, better than anybody we've had before.
For sure.
Okay. So somebody needs to take that mantle, mm-hmm. you know, and do that because otherwise the personality will become like me, which is work, right. better, right? And never stop and smelling the roses and all of those things. So, you know, Meredith, let me ask you as a team member, what are some of the things that people, not money, okay, mm-hmm. what are some of the things that a dentist can do to show appreciation and acknowledgement?
Some of the things a dentist can do to show appreciation and acknowledgement would be, you know, just showing up with the random coffees, lunches.
Like you guys want flowers? Jesus Christ.
Some of the girls do like flowers. I'm not a flower person, but, you know, like it was Liz's birthday a couple weeks ago. I know Liz likes flowers.
Right.
So I stopped at Whole Foods on the way to work and brought her flowers. Now, do we do that for every single person's birthday?
Did I pay for that?
No.
Why not?
Because we're friends.
Okay.
We've worked together. I mean, I just know she likes flowers. So I just did it from all of us. We had a card. You always do a gift card for the birthday.
And so that's important. You did it from all of us.
Right.
Right. Oh, so that way it looks like
she doesn't know I got the flowers.
Like I have no idea. Right.
Yeah.
Did you sign my name for me too?
You signed the card.
I signed. Okay.
We did give you the card.
I didn't know what I was signing. Okay.
Right. So I think that's important. Birthdays, we are really good about acknowledging those. We do have a resident baker on staff. Mm-hmm. So Whitney number two made her a cake. Yeah. And
stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, podcast family. T-Bone here. Are you a dentist looking to elevate your practice and profits? Then pay close attention. Introducing the 3D Business Mastermind, the dental business coaching program designed for dentists who want to see real results. I've walked the path of practice ownership for nearly 25 years. I know your challenges. I felt your pain. This is your opportunity to overcome the chaos, the busyness, and the financial frustrations of owning a dental practice. Imagine a dental practice where your appointment book is highly productive, doing the dentistry you enjoy, your team is self-motivated, and your profits keep climbing. That's what the 3D Business Mastermind is all about. In this exclusive mastermind, you'll join a league of ambitious dentists driven to elevate their practices. You'll gain access to proven strategies, personalized coaching, and a community that understands your journey. So if you're ready to supercharge your dental practice and enjoy the success you deserve, visit www.3d-dentists.com and take the first step towards a brighter future in dentistry by filling out the 3D Business Mastermind application. Now, let's get to this week's episode. What else? What are the personal things I could do for you that aren't money related?
So I think,
to let you know that I do value you.
Well, one time we did this, and it's probably due for this again. During a monthly meeting, we found out everybody's love language. Mm-hmm. And that was really interesting because, you know, yours would obviously be time. You right. like everyone to spend time with you.
I do.
Mine's That's obviously presents.
Right.
So everybody's different in what they like and what they value. I think everybody enjoys a pedicure. Right. We've done that a lot. And I think everyone really likes that because it's time, it's pampering, it's relaxing.
Yeah. And I think, you look, and so many dentists are afraid to ever ask team members to do anything after 5 o'clock. I have zero issue with it. Right. You know, because it's not required. It's a pedicure.
Right.
You don't have to show up. You know, and but I've had people in the past say, well, can I do mine another day? I say, no, it's a team event.
Right.
You know, if that day doesn't work for you, you can get to all the team members and find a date that works for the majority of people.
Everybody.
And I'll be there.
Right.
You know. Or they'll say, well, you don't have dates. Yeah. And then that's the date.
You can't get a rain check.
That's the date.
Right.
You know, and so I do have firmness about it because otherwise, again, you'll start having the inmates run the asylum. Thank you, Meredith, for that. That's a good insight because it's an area that I totally suck at. You know, every day I'm like, oh, I'm going to get Starbucks this morning. And then I drop the kids and I'm frazzled. And then,
or you get something full of sugar and we don't touch it.
That's okay. That's more for me.
I know. Yeah. So I think appreciation and acknowledgement is a lot for the team members. I think also you guys don't think we like it as much as we do, but even just going to courses, learning, you know, mm-hmm. the ones of us that want to learn and you take us out of town to learn is like a vacation.
Yeah.
I think our workshops, we have a lot of fun. The team members that come want to come back. They learn a lot and it keeps them motivated and going when they get back.
To see a different way of doing dentistry. Right, they get to see what other teams are like and how other teams interact. I mean, there can be negatives to that. Some people might be like, "Why in the hell am I working at such a bad place?"
Yeah,
you know. But there can be positives, like, "Oh my God,
we all have the same problems."
Yeah, you or know? Hey, at least my problem is better than their problem, right?
There you go.
You know, so that's good. That's good. So, do I do a decent job of it?
I think you do a great job of it.
Well, me personally, I don't. Okay?
Right, our office does a good job of it.
Yeah, I'm willing to fund it. Yeah. How about that?
Another thing we do is we do biannually events.
Yeah, so every quarterly or every six months we do something.
Right.
Like I think we just went to Beefmasters.
Yeah.
How was that?
So that was outside of our events. We went to dinner. We took a bus to dinner with a red carpet.
Red carpet service, right? That was a little bit of a surprise. The bus driver was driving a little bit fast. and we had drinks.
Yeah, we had a great time. We went to Beefmaster Inn in Wilson.
Yeah.
It's a little hole in the wall so we could be ourselves.
But again, for me, it was about being with
the time.
I didn't care about the restaurant. I could have just drove there with you guys and drove right back with you guys. And I would have had fun and we all had a good time. Everybody
we were all together in one van. I think that was half the fun of getting there.
The van was the most expensive part of the night, by the way. So I didn't want us to drive our own cars, number one, from a liability perspective.
Yeah. I offered to drive, but we couldn't all fit in one car, and that broke us up.
And even then, even if you drove, it's a liability.
Right.
Okay, there's a liability that I don't think... Look, I'm at too far of a stage in life where I'm taking that liability on, right, to save $500, right? So, but the fun of it was going there, being able to have open containers because once you do a commercial service, you can have all of that and providing that. And look, I'm upfront with people. I mean, I know a lot of dentists that are like, well, I don't have time for that. I'm like, you can make the time, give people the money to get the drinks. I'm like, I want to fund everything. I know our team doesn't always want me to do that, but that's my joy. My joy is what I can do is I can provide money. I'm not going to go out and buy because if I went out and buy, it'd be like natural light. It'd be in like...
That's what we drink.
Right. But I know we try this Truly stuff and White Claw stuff.
You would get the Mike's Hard Lemonade. That's what we got one time. Nobody's drank those since high school.
Right. Well, I don't... Or Zima. I'd probably get Zima, right?
They don't make those anymore.
But I think that's what we're drinking, by the way, in this White Claw or Truly. It's probably just Zima.
Yeah.
So appreciation is super important in the five steps. And Meredith, what's the fifth thing?
So the fifth thing would be what everybody probably talks about first would be the compensation, the pay. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it's an important conversation to have because at the end of the day, we all have to make a living. That's why we work. Because if most of us were given a choice, we'd probably not do what we're doing or we'd do differently at least.
Right.
So here's the deal. When you have a relationship with people appropriate, when you have relationships with your team members and you get to know them and you challenge them to grow and you lay out a pathway, the financial conversation is much easier. You know, when I lay out a path for you, Meredith, and we can talk about when I said, hey, Meredith, we need to do 80 Invisalign cases for you to earn this. And when you don't do it, you know not to ask, right?
Right.
But when we do it, you have zero issue asking.
No, because I've fulfilled my
end of the bargain. And part of that is having it in writing. That's why I always do things with my wife present because she can translate for me.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think the money part is the easiest part of this because if you set the other things up right, your team will know that it's based on growth.
Very black and white.
Like, you know, and most people say, I don't know. You know, it's not completely black and white, but the concept is black and white. If the practice doesn't make more, there's nothing to give.
Right.
If I don't do my part, if I don't talk to Dr. A or Dr. Leedy, if I don't get to know them, if we don't talk about work and personal life and all of these things, then I'm probably not going to succeed. And they're not going to be likely to give somebody money. You know, or reward them economically for some of these things. What's your take on that, Meredith?
Yeah, I think that is good, very important. But I know one of the things that really motivated our team was a bonus system.
Yes, it can motivate and demotivate, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So bonuses have probably been the hardest thing for me to do right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because I have a high bar to begin with.
Right.
So I've always had a challenge in setting the bonus too high.
Right.
And so that's an important thing to do is to have some type of bonus structure in place and to have some type of transparent way of determining that number. And what we use is employee pay, total employee cost, and want that to be a certain percentage. So our monthly goal is based on that. And then I've gone a little bit further because we don't always meet that goal. I've gone a little bit further and I try to create a non-money-based goal.
Non-production.
Non-production-based goal. And so in our office, it's $1,000 in the pot if they do 10 Google reviews, 5 patient videos. What else do we have to do?
Five team education videos.
If we can get those recorded and produced or done, then I'll put $1,000 in the pot and the team can choose how they want to do that. I think last month everybody wanted money.
We do gift cards.
Gift cards, yeah, same thing. Yeah. So sometimes they say, why don't we all do dinner together or why don't we do that together? In fact, that's what Beef Masters was, you know. So I think it's important that there's a money-based bonus system and there's also a economic reward for non-production because at least in my culture, my personal culture, I don't want everything to be about how much we collect. I want it also to be about, hey, we didn't collect because things didn't go well for us, but we did work hard and we produced this stuff. And notice those three things I talk about are all based on building for the future, okay? Because reviews help attract new patients.
Right.
You know, patient testimonials help attract new patients and gain case acceptance. And team Q&A videos help with Google SEO and things like that. So I typically have my non-production goals based on things that help the practice grow over the long run.
I think as a team member, the non-production goals have really brought the team together more as a team.
It's free money.
It is. And it's also one of those things where you motivate each other to help with the Google reviews, the front and the back. It's really one of those things where everybody works together, which is hard in any other role.
Yeah.
So I think that really has other benefits to it than just the pay as well for the practice.
You know, and quite frankly, sometimes that non-production dollar, that $1,000 in our practice comes out of my pocket. Mm-hmm. And that's just the cost of doing business. So that's, at the end of the day, my pockets are fine. So, you know, we'll be okay. Meredith, is there anything else left?
So I think those are our five ways to motivate, attract, and keep team members. In review, we have flexibility, the environment. Challenging.
Number one, flexibility.
Number one, flexibility.
Two.
Number two, the environment. Number three, challenging your team members to grow. Number four, the appreciation and acknowledgement. And lastly, number five, the compensation.
Thank you, Meredith. It's been great. If you guys have other things that you'd like us to talk about, just reach out to Meredith. It's meredith@3d-dentist.com. Be sure to leave us a review. Help us spread the message by sharing on social media all the things that we're doing. And be sure to check out our clinical vlog, Let's Get Clinical, our monthly T-Bones Toolbox, our weekly T-Bones podcast. We've got a lot of free stuff out there. And truthfully speaking, that free stuff comes because our sell to you is 3D Dentists. I want you to come to our workshops, attend our masterminds. I know it'll help change your practice because we've seen it over and over again. And if nothing else, you'll have a good time and you'll be challenged. And so thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week.